Yeah, I was watching Paul Tite the other day.
Yeah, I seen him at. I was coming home from a West Ham game. I was just stood there. It was chock a block at Euston Station. And he just walked straight past me and went, oh, hello. Because me and Tate were quite close, you know. It was like, he had his problems in that, but what a player. I think he wasn't utilised enough. That's, you know, the seasons I was there. That good player he was.
So just, yeah, just following on from, so we had a discussion with Paul Tite last week. He mentioned a novel why that you used to gain entry to your eyes if you'd lost your keys, and you got back and there was no answer.
No comments.
So it wasn't a spare key under the mat. It was a, there was a slab, the particularly favourite slab he used to use.
No, well, it's like when I signed, I decided that was, you know, obviously the player coach, and I wanted to give it me all, because obviously I'd had the 10 games on loan, and really unfortunate to go down, really, because I remember David Sullivan ringing me up and saying, just come to the club, but already relegated. And I did say to him at the time, I said, well, I was leaving Everton for the last 10 games, and I'm a winner. And I said, what happens if I keep it up? And he went, there's 100 grand there. He said, but we're already dead and buried. He said, so you've still got a year left at Everton. And I remember my first game, I think we beat Middlesbrough 3-0, and they hadn't won a game for about 4 months. And I knew there were some good players there, and I realised, you know, I think I played 10, we won 8, drew 1 and lost 1, missed staying up by a goal. And I forgot all about, because I was going back to Everton for a year, which was my club. And I remember going on holiday 2 days later to the Cayman Islands, I was reminded by my missus at the time, wasn't you on a bonus, Mark, to keep...
Forgot about it.
And I went, oh, yeah, because it didn't mean not to me. And I said to her, she said, well, what happened? And because she was clueless about football, I said, well, Birmingham missed staying up by a goal. She said, so just one goal? I said, yeah. I said, but I said to her, listen, I give it me all. And I was gutted at the end, because got this bond with the supporters and the players. And before I knew it, I come back and he wanted me to go down and speak to him, David Sullivan, and offered me the player coach's job, which I took with both hands, really. But as you know, I decided to get the flat in what was it called, the Hagley Road, off the Hagley Road, and I rented the property there, a nice flat, and I was commuting at first, and then I thought, no, I said, I've got to give it me all, and I was always there first at training. And that season couldn't have got any better, really, winning the division and going to Wembley and winning at Wembley. So, but I think getting a property and staying down, that was not travelling, you know, that helped out a lot.
Yeah, because you hear that a lot now, don't you, with managers? I mean, notably Logs, when we've had Wayne Rooney was there, and you hear about, you know, not the commute and not travelling with the team and stuff. I think that's important to players, that you've got that unity with coaches and managers.
Without a doubt, all the clubs that I've played at, from Everton, West Ham, Man City, you know, you've got to be close to where you're training every day and to the, you know, to the ground, really. And it gives you that sort of, you know, it gives the players that authenticity, you know, they're authentic to the cause, really.
Yeah.
And I think that was a big plus for me when I moved to the city. Got in a few scrapes, like, but
I was going to say, so Hagley Road, you'd have been walking distance to Liberty's at the time as well, then, wouldn't you?
Yeah, got a terrible hiding there one night, and I think it was the first night game on the Tuesday. No one told me that out of blue you couldn't go there, and my brother was down from Liverpool. We'd won the game, and a couple of me mates, and we ended up getting bullied, really, but big time. We got battered by the bouncers, and so I remember I was in a bad way. I broke me hand and my cheekbone. And I woke up in the morning and I looked at my brother and I thought, he'd been in a car crash, that's how bad he was. And I went to answer the phone. It was Karen Brady. And my hand had a big lump on it. And I always remember the words. Mark, it's Karen here. We just had information about the trouble last night at Liberty. She said, I had trouble when I first come to the city. You shouldn't have gone there. People should have told you not to go there because it's an Aston Villa club. And I thought, you know, in Liverpool, you can go anywhere you want, but didn't realise there was that sort of, you know, I know there's like a lot of the camaraderie between clubs and all that, but I realised quickly that you don't go to places. And she said, as long as you're fit for Saturday, and got me hand sorted out, and I played against Swansea, I think, on the Saturday. But wasn't a good start, but you know, got better after that.
Yeah. So you weren't aware of the intensity of the rivalry at the club. So there was nothing, it wasn't to that kind of degree Liverpool with Everton.
No, like different, used to be the friendliest derby in the world, wasn't it? Liverpool and Everton supporters sitting, it's not that friendly at the moment, the rivalry, but you know, the intensity of the rivalry between Villa and Birmingham, that struck state, you know, after that night out. And I hadn't done anything wrong. It was just a matter of proper, you know, I've got a lot of friends. I had friends in the city in Birmingham, and they had a few meetings, and I had to go to a meeting to make sure that there's no afters. And I was told I was okay to, you know, I'd be safe in the city. But it was a bit scary on the night.
Yeah, I bet. So, obviously, we've just spoke to Jose. Another vertically challenged, diminutive attacking player. Coming through Everton's youth ranks, is that right that you were released because they didn't consider you big enough at that time?
Yeah, you know, listen, it's always like, to me, when I was a schoolboy and then an apprentice, and I was signed an apprentice at 16 at Everton, and then they let me go at 18, and Gordon Lee, the manager, he decided, played a few reserve games the season before and won. Played at the tournament in Groningen, in Holland. Everton had won it. There was PSG, there was Sampdoria, there was a lot of other clubs, top clubs, Ipswich. So I'd won the player of the tournament. And when you think about it, Ronald Koeman was playing for Groningen and some really top. So the ability was always there. It was just to be physique. And, you know, I only weighed about 9.5 stone. So I think at the time, but when Gordon Lee said you'd never be big enough, quick enough, or strong enough to play at the top level, I'm still not big enough, but I've become very strong. And with the strength, I've become very, you know, the power gave me the pace. And, you know, within 2 years after leaving Everton, I've become a different animal, really. I played non-league in the conference with Northwich, playing against men. You know, I was 18, and the next youngest in the team was 28. So I was like a baby, but you know, playing against proper seasoned professionals really helped me. And I've always said the 2 years playing at non-league made me the player that was. You know, it was like, it was tough, but it really made me a player.
Yeah. So at Blues, who would you put up as kind of the most skillful or the most talented players at that time? And who were
I always admired Paul Tate. Tate had his problems, which he'd admit himself, but what a player on his day. He had a great touch. You know, he'd bomb forward from midfield. He'd score goals. Never give the ball away, really. And the little fella, Jose, when he signed, because of his size and that, I tried to help him because I was the player coach then. And Barry didn't have much time for him, to be honest, because, you know, it's trying to use him as a sub a lot, and never really started him a lot of games. But I always remember we drew our own St. Andrews against Liverpool. We should have beat them, and then we played them in the FA Cup. We played in a replay, and we absolutely played them off the park again. It went to extra time, and then I missed the first penalty. But in that extra time, the second half, I think Jose come on, and I was just, you know, everyone was getting tired, and my instructions were just to give him the ball and let him run and see if he can just create something, because he could create something out of nothing. He gave the ball away cheaply as soon as he'd come on. And I was saying, keep your head up, keep your head up. And next minute, his number was up and Barry was subbing the sub. You know what I mean? And as he's walking past me, I could see there was tears. And he was saying to me, you know, Ma. And I just couldn't believe it. You know what I mean? So, you know, people have to make decisions in football. But I always remember that one as like a really, it was uncalled for, really. You know what I mean? Because it didn't do his confidence any good at all. We went to lose that game because I missed, and like Barry said, we all stick together at Birmingham. Everyone missed the penalties, and we went out of the cup, but we should have gone through. you know, in the first leg, really.
Did you get any stick for that back at home then?
Did, yeah. Remember Ian Rush hasn't missed. I just clipped the post. I never missed many penalties, and he was walking towards me, and I can't really discern here what I said to him. But he missed Ian Rush, the great striker. So, you know, everyone's got to take a penalty when it comes to, you know, after extra time. So it's just unfortunate that we didn't go through. But I always remember that decision to sub him. You know, it was unfortunate for him because it didn't warrant that.
Yeah. The player coach role, what were the biggest differences in coaching as well as playing? And how easy or difficult was that for you to kind of become a coach as well as a player?
Yeah, the insight into it. I had that 10 games and I think, you know, there were 9 points adrift, I think, at the bottom when I signed. And then once I got to Birmingham and I played 9-10 games, they gave it me all, like I said. And obviously they must have discussed things behind, you know, the directors or whatever, and said, well, we want Mark here as a player coach, because it was not nearing the end of my career, but at the top level. And obviously being relegated, it was like the third tier then. And I couldn't refuse it, really, because I know Barry questioned it, just wanted me to play, but I was strong and said, no, this is going to be the start of my, you know, coaching and then hopefully management. And when you think about it, we've done the double. We won the division and we won at Wembley. I got man of the match. The Blues hadn't been to Wembley for 50 years. It was about 80, I think it was 80,000 people there. So it was a great, great season all around, really. Successful.
Let's have a little quick run through. Just some quick fire questions, because I know you're going to be talking all day. So I don't want to dry into them, Jerry. Who was the toughest defender that you ever played against?
Well, one of them just come in. Him, Mark Dennis. But I was at the left back stander now, Stuart Pearce. I'd done an event with Stuart in Ipswich last year, and hosted that event, and he said to me, "Ward, are you my nemesis?" He said, "I could never get the better of you." And I just said to him, "I know you don't. You haven't changed, have you?" I said, "No, I never will." So yeah, they were all Julian Dix, played against the Middle Merseyside Derby. So they were all tough lads.
I was going to say, that's proper fullbacks, isn't it?
Yeah, right. And you've got to be that. You've got to have a strong mentality to play against that sort of left backs, you know?
Yeah. Funny.
Come here, son. Is that my pint? That was my old goalkeeper from Man City.
The legend.
Tony Coates. He hasn't even had a pint yet.
The legendary Tony Coughton. Well, we'll wrap it up then, because I don't want to keep you in too much longer. What's your funniest story from your playing days that you can actually tell that won't have any legal implications or...
Oh, I could tell you loads of stories, but I might get locked up again. I remember Barry trying to accuse me of taking this job after 6 weeks, and Karen Brady summoned all his staff into the boardroom, and I sat there, and she wanted Barry to carry on and ask him what's going on, and he stood up and he went, "Can you swear on this?"
Yeah.
He said, "What's my fucking job?" She said, what do you mean, Barry? He said, "Well, I've heard that he wants my job." And that wasn't the case, because I was playing football. It wasn't the right time for me to do anything like that. So she asked him to sit down, and she went to Don Funchiello, his scout. How many games have you played in the Premier League? He said, "No." Edwin Steen, "How many games have you played in the Premier League?" "None." David Owls, "How many games have you played in the Premier League?" "None." The physio, "How many games have you played in the Premier League?" When I got to Barry, just before he could say, he stood up, kicked the waste paper basket. The basket went flying over the table. "That's not the point," he said. "Well, that is the point, Barry. We brought him here because he's played in the Premier League, and that's why we're Mark's here, you know what I mean?" So, but I've got loads of instances of the kickoffs. But one thing about Barry, he was a winner.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't everyone's cup of tea, but he wanted the right things, you know?
That's the general consensus that we hear with ex-players, that he was what you kind of, there was no undercurrent with him, was there? He was, you might have you by the neck, but then he'd have an arm around you, buying you a drink after.
Listen, there was 58 professionals there that season, so you know, we were, you know, the old third, was it the third division, wasn't it? To me, he had too many to choose from, and we were the biggest club in that division. So we'd spent the most money, and we won it. And then obviously the Wembley thing was just as, was a bonus, really.
Right, well, we've talked about your method for gaining access to your ice when you forget your keys. one last question. Who was your favourite player to play with?
I liked Shearer in the midfield with me, you know what I mean? Because he was strong, he'd win the ball, and he'd just knock it off. And then and Louis Donoghue was brilliant that season as well. But Claridge, you know, he was smelly and scruffy, but I tell you what, he could play. And had a great attitude, so we had some and big Daisy at the back, you know what I mean? He was the general. And we were strong right through the middle. Benno, you had Daisy, himself in the middle of midfield, and Claridge up front. So
it's not a bad spawn, all that, is it?
Strong through the middle, yeah.
Oh, brilliant. Well, yeah, look, Si, we know you're very busy for the afternoon, so we'll leave it at that, mate. Thank you ever so much for your time, Mark.
Cheers. Thank you.